You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The federal government has long held a moratorium on tanker traffic off the BC coast. This may soon come to an end as the government is currently considering approval of a new pipeline. The Enbridge Northern Gateway Pipeline would bring oil from the Alberta tar sands 1,100 kilometers across BC to a tanker port at Kitimat. On March 23rd, a coalition of First Nations on the coast declared a ban on oil tanker traffic. Joining me today is Gerald Amos. He is a director of the organization Coastal First Nations, which represents an alliance of nine different nations on BC's north and central coast. Hello, Gerald.
Good morning.
Now, what would be the impact of tankers on the BC coast for the ecosystems there?
Well, in this instance, we're talking very large crude carriers. I just want to make that distinction right away. I don't think it's any secret what an accident of the magnitude that happened up in Alaska will do to the coast. If one was at the 23rd gathering that we had to announce the ban, we had a map that depicted the impact zone up in the Exxon Valdez spill onto our coast, and it ranged from the Alaska border right down to the top third of Vancouver Island. So I think that's a pretty good reason for people to be afraid of that type of an accident.
Now, what concerns do the different First Nations on the coast have in regards to the potential tanker traffic?
Well, I think that the simple matter of it all is that, you know, any accident on the coast is going to, like I said, is going to impact pretty much every First Nation on the coast, ranging from the top of Vancouver Island to the Alaska border. Everyone pretty much has the same concerns. It's not a matter of if an accident's going to happen, as the old saying now goes. It's a matter of when. And when it happens, you know, our people particularly, but a lot of other people that are now living in our areas are really reliant on the resources in the sea. Every year at this time of the year, we're out harvesting still, and there's an economic component to that. We rely a lot on those resources, particularly people who don't have jobs. I mean, in the town of Kitimat, Yurikan just closed. That's had an impact on my community, and you know, people still rely on that resource that we get out there.
Is that the main industry for people in Kitimat?
No, the main industry is Rio Tinto. I have to get used to saying Rio Tinto now. It used to be Rio Tinto Alcan. Now it's just Rio Tinto.
Now, what has the consultation process with First Nations look like?
Well, in our case, in the case of the Chaisla, which is where I'm from, Kitimat, the councils of the day have written letters going back to 2005 attempting to work with the federal government to ensure that the joint review process that is unfolded really addresses the current case law that exists in this country surrounding the need for consultation and accommodation. And we've had very little success in getting the government to actually have a serious discussion with us. And I know that the people in Gitgat and Hartley Bay have had the same problem. Very little reaction to our attempts to accommodate their side.
What have you done to try to get the government's attention?
Well, I don't want this to be a situation. I don't want what we've done, this ban, to be viewed as an attempt to get their attention. We've attempted to do it, and we'll continue to do that. We've made applications, for instance, to the SIA process, and have gotten some funds to assist us in attempting to work with the government, although we don't hold out much hope. But I don't want it to appear like we've done this as a stunt to get their attention. This is a serious move on the part of the coastal First Nations to ensure that there's no very large crude carriers on our coast.
Why did participating First Nations decide to declare this this ban?
Well, again, going back to 2005, Tom Gunton was commissioned by the Coastal First Nations, which was then Turning Point, to take a close look at, as much as they could, at least at that point, take a look at the Enbridge proposal to determine whether there was any way that our communities could work with the proponent to ensure that there was a good safety plan in place. And Mr. Gunton came back and in his report and was pretty clear that there was very little likelihood that we could envision a project that was fail-safe. I mean, it comes back to human error and equipment failure, and that's something that we haven't done a good job of ensuring that accidents don't happen because of those two issues.
Have you had discussions with Enbridge, the company Enbridge?
It's kind of a funny situation when you say Coastal First Nations, we've had, I think it was John Carruthers came to one of our board meetings and was put on notice even back then, which was darn near a year ago. And he was put on notice back then by a number of communities and that we were more than likely not going to be in favor of his project. In terms of Kitimat, I find it kind of strange because we're where the ocean meets the terrestrial kind of thing, and we're kind of caught betwixt and between. And to my knowledge, they've never been in my community.
What will happen with the declared ban if the government does end up approving the pipeline and the tanker system?
Then they're in for a fight. It's as simple as that. I can't put it any other way. I mean, we've already determined that we're going to do whatever it takes to ensure that there's no tanker traffic on the coast.
And there's 9 different nations involved.
Well, there's more than that. I think the real concern that the federal government, the provincial government, for that matter, should have is that I think there's, you know, they always talk about this new relationship. Well, the new relationship that they need to be concerned about right now is the relationship between the environmental organizations that are some of the older ones. But also there's a number of new ones like Douglas Sandal Watts in the town of Kitimat who are expressing the same concerns as the Chais are. And that list is growing. I mean, what they're going to experience if they attempt to push this project through is a virtual folk storm of opposition. I think that's what's going to happen.
Have you been in contact with people along the pipeline route and the people in the tar sands projects, any communities in the tar sands projects themselves?
Well, as you may know, the a number of those communities came down to our event here in Vancouver, and I personally have taken a trip on one occasion to visit the Athabasca community up in Fort Chip, and flown over the tar sands on a plane. So we're working very hard at ensuring that relationship continues because the simple fact, I think, of the matter again, is our relationships are a necessity right now because decisions made in the tar sands have an impact on me. Our decisions will have an impact on them. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk.
May 23rd was the day that the ban was announced. Was that date accidental?
No. We knew, of course, that it was the 21st anniversary, and we thought it would be a good time to remind people of what's at stake.
A 21st anniversary of the...
Of the Exxon Valdez, right.
Mm-hmm. What would you suggest people do if they want to help you with this ban?
A number of things. I think that one of the... Well, we're going to have a gathering in Kitimat Village on the 29th of May, and we're inviting anyone and everyone who can make it up to Kitimat on a Saturday. We're going to display the fresh seafood that's coming up at that time of the year and feed people. We're going to co-host it with the community of Kitgat, Hartley Bay. And I'm sure a number of other First Nations communities are going to assist us in providing the food. So the invitation is open. We want to fill our recreation center with human beings. Other than that, we've got the Coastal First Nations do have a website. Just type in Coastal First Nations and follow the links, and you can. I think you'll find a letter that's a draft, as people usually do. As well, the Friends of Wild Salmon, which is a coalition on the North Coast that was formed around the fish farm issue, is currently engaged on this issue as well. The new one is the big one is the Enbridge proposal. They have information on their site as well, Friends of Wild Salmon.
Okay, Gerald, well, thanks for coming in and updating us on this ban.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Gerald Amos, a director of the organization Coastal First Nations. For more information on the work of that organization, Gerald mentioned, you can visit coastalfirstnations.ca, or if you would like to take an internet action, visit pipeupagainstenbridge.ca.